Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LeDuc. For its final NECO stage production of the 2018 season, the Williamstown Theater Festival presents Dangerous House, a new play by Jen Silverman, directed by Sahim Ali. Set in Cape Town, South Africa during the 2010 World Cup, Dangerous House contrasts the celebration of global football against a devastating truth of South African culture when it comes to gender roles and sexuality. Samira Wiley plays Priti Mbane. Wiley is an Emmy-nominated actress for her work as Moira on the Hulu series The Handmaid's Tale, and she played Poussée for four seasons on the Netflix series Orange is the New Black. Samira, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Tell me about how you first encountered this play, what you thought when you read it, and how you knew that you would come to Williamstown and do it if they would cast you, if they would let you.
I first got this play. Jen Silverman sent it to me. It feels months and months and months ago, before Williamstown was even involved. And I believe it first started with a reading she was doing in the city, and it was a couple days, and I was unavailable. And I remember being so heartbroken that I was unavailable, because I just felt like this play was so original. People say that all the time, but truly, it really is. I haven't seen much, really anything like it. And to know, you know, that this play is set in South Africa, and I assumed that the writer of the play was South African, and to find out that, you know, Jen is just, she's lived all over the world. She speaks like six different languages, and she seems to just be like a completely observant person to her surroundings and this world. Atandwa, who plays Sicelo, is South African himself, and he talks so much about the authenticity of the world that has been created. And so when Williamstown, I found out Williamstown was going to do a production of it, I was like, I told my agent, we have to keep this time clear. We have to. I need to do this play. And it was one of the best decisions I've ever made.
What was it about the character that made you so excited about it to come play it, to keep that time clear and do the play?
You know, I feel like with Priti, the character that I play, you don't really see, I feel, a lot of female characters written this way. She's this hero. She's like, she's got this amazing, you know, she leads with her sexuality, and she's, you know, I think about like James Dean and people like that, and to have a female character in this way leading this play and leading the audience through this story, it just felt like this person was so powerful, and to be able to tap into that and be able to share that with an audience, and honestly, even just my own journey, being able to play a character like this and tap into things that I haven't been able to before. It's just been, I mean, it's been a blessing for me, truly, to be able to go on this journey.
You are alone on stage for several of your scenes, not interacting with any of the other actors. Have you ever done that before? Have you ever had to perform that way, interacting sort of with yourself, with your surroundings, and a little bit with the audience?
Yeah, I did a one-woman show. When was this? A few years ago. But it was, I think it was very different in terms of this play is not, her monologues are really conversations with the audience. I don't feel like I'm just up there by myself acting by myself. I feel like I'm having a conversation with them, and that is how active these monologues are, and how Jen has written them. It's not it's a real invitation, I think, for the audience to sort of jump into this play and not just sit back and watch, but to be engaged and to feel like they're a part of it, feel like they're a part of this journey and a part of trying to figure out exactly where what's going on with Priti and where she is. She's trying to, for most of the play, just figure out what's going on and what environment she's in. And I feel like she brings the audience along for the ride.
You mentioned the play is set in South Africa, and it deals with a particular element of the truth of South African politics and culture kind of running up against each other. Did you already know about that? Did you know about the situations that drive the action of the play?
I had no idea, and you know, it's to be a member of the LGBT community and to learn that this is happening, not only in South Africa, but, you know, some other countries as well.
Mm-hmm.
But to also see, you know, this play is set in 2010. And the research that I have done now, you know, it shows that this is so pervasive there. I mean, it's getting worse. It's not getting better. The numbers in 2018 are worse than the numbers in 2010. And I don't know how to reconcile that. You know, I think a little bit makes me feel guilty, you know, to be able to have the life that I have. I'm, you know, married to my wife, mm-hmm. and we have a lovely life together. We are very out, and I just think that LGBT visibility is so important to us, and we try to make sure that we, you know, show images of love and, you know, on our social media and stuff, and to know that this is happening, and or to figure out that it's happening and to not have known before, it made me feel like, how did I not know about this? You know, how did I not know that there are people of my community that are dealing with this, you know, thing that's not just a one-off.
No.
You know, this is a practice. This is a belief. It's almost like this is, you know, everyone has their God, and this is, to some people there, this is, they really think they're doing the work of their God. That's a really, really tricky thing.
I realized as you were speaking that we both know what we're talking about, but we both kind of talked around it. So we should clarify for the listener. Gay marriage is legal in South Africa, but many people, especially, I guess, with, or not especially, but for women who come out as lesbian or represent as gay, the culture allows the men to rape or kill them, and they call it corrective rape, thinking that something's sort of wrong in their heads, but if a man forces himself on her, then she will realize that. It's just so twisted.
I know.
I can't,
and
like,
also,
I don't even know how to say it, because I can't grant it credibility.
There's so many, even the fact that most of, or I don't know about most, but a lot of these attacks end with murder.
Mm-hmm.
How are you correcting her? You know, you killed her.
Right.
I don't understand it. But it's a really crazy thing to think that you can give someone this horrible, horrible experience and have them think that, oh yeah, that's what I want.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and there, you know, there are some women that are not even out. You know, there's such a journey, a personal journey with everyone, you know, in their journey of coming out and their journey of understanding who they are, their sexual orientation. And there are some women there that haven't come out, but just sort of, you know, present more masculine than other women.
Mm-hmm.
And they get targeted, you know, because they're, you know, dressing quote unquote like a man.
Right.
And that's not okay either.
How do you go into the world of the play each night? And actually, I could ask this about another of your projects. You're an Emmy-nominated actor on The Handmaid's Tale. You go into these dark, dark worlds, and then how do you immerse yourself in those dark worlds and then, I guess, you know, release yourself for your own mental health once you're done performing?
Yes, that is so important. I'm glad you said that last part. It's a pretty intense world to step into every night. I think gain strength from the rest of my castmates before the show. I think we sort of just connect with each other and know that we're telling a story that is important and needs to be told. And because of that, usually read, there's a monologue that Cicuelo, you know, performs in the play that is, you know, just exactly about what happens to my character.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually read that before, you know, the start of the play, and it really gets me in the world, which is really, really hard, but that's part of being an actor, you know, is stepping into these worlds that can be draining, can be straining on, you know, like you said, your own mental health. But there's, you know, sort of a practice that I do to sort of step into the character. It's, you know, breathing and just my own kind of thing. And I have to do the same thing when the play is over. I need to be secluded and sort of get it off of me, for lack of better words.
We only have a minute or two left, so before I let you go, I did want to quickly ask you about being part of the series The Handmaid's Tale and Orange is the New Black, these large female ensembles, female-driven narratives. What has it meant for you to be a part of those? I know they're very different also, but those two projects.
No, yeah, honestly, because those two things are really what, you know, the things that sort of thrust me into the public consciousness, I really didn't have experience too much with the entertainment industry before Orange.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember so many women, Kate Mulgrew, who plays Red, and Natasha Lyonne, they sort of were very vocal about how different this was,
mm-hmm.
How revolutionary this was. But I think I feel a little naive because that was just my experience. You know, there were female directors, there were female, you know, everyone was a woman. And to be able to be around that environment, I think I possibly took it for granted.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to really realize, even though I'm on The Handmaid's Tale, and that's similar in terms of, I think the first season we had, every single director that we had on the show was a woman, save one. And it's just, I think for me, it's a really healthy environment to have come up in and to still be coming up in. But I know that at some point, I don't know. Let me not say that, but I'm sure at some point I'll get an awakening. This is not the norm, you know, but because I have had these experiences, I honestly feel like I can dream bigger in terms of things that I want to do outside of acting, you know, seeing producers and directors and women in these, you know, huge positions of power. I don't think that I would be able to think about the possibilities of my career in the same way if I didn't have those experiences.
Dangerous House runs on the NECO stage at the Williamstown Theater Festival in Williamstown, Massachusetts through August 19th. Samira Wiley, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Once again, Dangerous House runs on the NECO stage at the Williamstown Theater Festival in Williamstown, Massachusetts through August 19th. WTFestival.org for more information.